There are so many issues throughout all levels of government that smart Christians need to view it as a way to care for our neighbor by making good decisions.
Molly Hemingway talking about her joint presentation with her husband Mark at the 2020 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
The federal government has gotten much more involved in family formation or family destruction, abortion, other issues. And there are so many ways in which it's important for us to think about how we can defend the weak and vulnerable among us by making good decisions.
You can meet and hear journalist Molly and Mark Hemingway making the case for Christian political engagement at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. The premier conference for Christian laity is Friday, June 12th and Saturday, June 13th in Chicago. Attendance is limited to 500. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org or by giving us a call 618-223-8385.
We can thank Hillary Clinton in 2016 for the worst platform language in the history of the platform language. And it was clear she didn't want to vote, so I guess she got what she asked for.
For many, politics is becoming their religion, both on the right and on the left. And I think that it's important that we recognize that this is ultimately a spiritual battle. You can't make the mistake of letting the power of the gospel deny the accountability of the human being to resist and reject what God gives.
This is Jeff in Michigan, Lutheran layman learning Latin, love, issues, etc. Pater noster qui es in caelis.
Well, I can't say that I've seen any of it. I've seen still photographs of J-Lo and Shakira on the stage there during the halftime of the Super Bowl in various states of undress and doing what J-Lo does. That's what she does. And doing what Shakira does. That's what she does. There was apparently some tie-in to a stripper pole and a lot of outrage and then a lot of kind of counter outrage after that Super Bowl performance. What was going on there? Was it simply the celebration of girl power or something else? And what about the ads we saw, but some of the ads we didn't see during the famous Super Bowl? Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Thursday afternoon, the 4th of February. We're going to be talking about Super Bowl ads and the halftime show with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse, founder and president of the Ruth Institute. And then a little bit later, Pastor Tom Baker joins us to teach a Sunday school lesson, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Joining us to discuss Super Bowl ads, some we didn't see, and that halftime show, which so many did see, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse, founder and president of the Ruth Institute. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities. She's senior research fellow in economics for the Acton Institute and author of several books, including her latest, The Sexual State. Jennifer, welcome back.
Todd, thanks so much for having me.
Why is it that you have been quoted saying that what we witnessed on Sunday evening during halftime was an example of sexual grooming?
Well, I'll tell you, in the last 2 years since the clergy sex abuse thing hit in the Catholic Church, I have learned more about sexual abuse than I ever really wanted to know. And one of the things that you learn when you study that is that perpetrators don't just perpetrate the victim. You know, they don't just victimize the ostensible victim. They also groom the whole community so that they get away with what they're trying to get away with. So they make it look like the child has consented, or they make it look like they're safe, or they make it look like there's something wrong with the child who's complaining about what's going on. So that's what grooming is. It's a process for softening up victims and making it harder for them to resist the advances of the perpetrator. So what we saw on that stage, Todd, was a very public, very expensive, very high-end statement that what it means to be a girl, what it means to be a woman, is to be a sexual object. It could not have been more explicit with between the gyrations of the main performers and then the choir, the children's choir that was on the stage, and the symbol for female around those girls while all this gyration is going on. It's very clear that to be a woman is to be sex positive, is to be sexually liberated and open. That's what it means to be a woman. And so what that means is every woman who buys that message is now easier prey for the likes of Harvey Weinstein and Jeffrey Epstein, who did not kill himself, by the way, and other kinds of predators. That's what that kind of show is doing. And that's why I say it's grooming. And that's why we need to be upset about it.
When did feminism take this turn? Because feminism has been about, obviously, promoting the interests of women politically and socially, but it's also been about breaking away from the objectification of women as sexual objects. And now, somehow, this was supposed to be, this performance was supposed to be an anthem to women's power.
So here's the way I look at that, Todd. The word feminism has certain ideology baked into it, but it also has lots and lots of variations. So the ideology that's baked into it is that to be a feminist is to be an advocate for women and for all women. Okay, so when I say I'm a feminist, that means, by golly, you need to listen to me if you care about women. Okay, that's what the term does to you, you know, puts you on the defensive immediately if you don't agree with the person. But the further thing that's happened with feminism is that there are all kinds of people who use that label, who want to pin that label on themselves because it's a favorable label, right? It's what you call yourself if you're in favor of women. So I will tell you flat out, Todd, there are plenty of feminists who are horrified by what went on the other night. Okay. There are plenty of feminists who are against pornography. There are plenty of feminists who are against the objectification of women. But the people who somehow always manage to be out there in public, front and center, with the biggest platform and the biggest microphone of all, just happen to be the one that say, making yourself sexually available at the lowest possible cost to the men, that is what feminism really is. That's authentic feminism. Okay. So all the feminists who are spitting mad, just as mad as, you know, probably your Lutheran little old ladies, those feminists, you're not going to see them on CNN or ESPN. They don't get a turn at the mic. And that's how you can tell that this is grooming. See, that's how you can tell that what it's really all about is getting women set up to be victims. That's what it's about, Todd.
You have noticed that there's a correlation in the amount of sex trafficking that takes place in and around the Super Bowl. What's the tie-in there?
Well, you know, I've read about this for the past couple of years, and I have to say I didn't take it seriously at first. I thought, just a bunch of crybaby feminists, you know. But then when you look at it a little more closely and think about it from the perspective I just mentioned, which is that there are feminists and then there are feminists, you know, and there are plenty of women who are trying to do something to put a stop to sex trafficking. But the fact is that there are plenty of men who want to buy sex. And when you've got a big crowd like that, it happens not only at the Super Bowl, it happens at soccer games in Europe and so on, that this is a common phenomenon when there are large crowds of people who have money to spend and who are a little bit tipsy at the very, you know, maybe more than a little bit tipsy from being in the stadium. That's the ready market for prostitution. And so there is, you know, supposedly an upswing in prostitution. And some of the people involved in that are not volunteers. Now, not adult women who are sex workers. They are people who have basically been kidnapped and who are being pressed into that kind of service in life. So that's the correlation. And the NFL made such a big deal about how we're partnering with the city of Miami to inform people so that the cab drivers and the hotel workers and everybody's on the lookout for these vulnerable girls. And the NFL, we're so great, we're so wonderful. Yeah, and in the meantime, you're sexually stimulating a crowd of millions of people, and turn them loose on the street. Guys that are now sexually turned on and half drunk, and you're turning them loose. Oh, great. I'm glad you gave the cab drivers a crash course on what to look for. You know, come on, people. Get serious.
You mentioned the NFL, but it's not just the NFL as a giant nonprofit corporation. It's also corporate America that has very quickly not just capitulated, but got on board 100% with the sexual revolution. Tell us about it.
Well, that's it. You know, Todd, once upon a time, I was a free market economist. I used to think there was a battle between left and right, between capitalism and socialism. I don't think those are the dividing lines anymore. Today, I think the dividing lines are the elites who want access to sexual victims and who want to do what they want at the least cost to themselves, and, or who are making money off the sexual revolution. There's the elites, and then there's everybody else. The other issues fade in insignificance as far as I'm concerned. So corporate America has actually been in the tank for quite a while. It's just become more obvious more recently with the between their support of gay marriage and their support of transgenderism. It's become more obvious. But Janet Jackson's wardrobe malfunction, how long ago is that? You know, that wasn't the day before yesterday. You know, that's been going on for a while, that they have been financing this type of soft porn at best and sometimes even worse than that. So it's been going on for a while, Todd.
It's one thing to watch this happen when the performer, as I said, J-Lo doing what J-Lo does and Shakira right. doing what she does. And then, you know, oddly, someone noticed on social media that during one part of the performance, all of the male performers were fully clothed. They seemed to be able to have found their pants backstage. But what I want to know is, why did they bring the children on the stage?
That's your clue. See, here's how perverts work. Here's how perpetrators work, Todd. The grooming process is you try something, and you try it in public. See, I found this. I'm going to have an article in the next day or so. It's going to come out in the National Catholic Register with a little bit more detail than the press release we sent out today. But I found this resource put out by the Department of Education on monitoring and dealing with adult sexual misconduct in the schools. Okay, and in that resource, there's a description of grooming and how grooming works. What the perpetrator will do is push the envelope in public. And what they're doing is they're testing to see how people react. They're looking for somebody who's more vulnerable and who reacts in a way that says, oh, this person could be a target versus somebody else who wouldn't be a target. They're looking to see, is there any consequence to me making this risque joke? Can I get away with this? And if the answer is yes, we can get away with it, they keep moving. They keep pushing the envelope. So to me, this is why people really need to speak up. You really need to call the NFL. You really need to call the Players Association. And you really need to tell them that we don't accept it, that this is not women's empowerment. And we don't accept little girls being on stage while this is going on. This is what else could it possibly be but grooming? You tell me, what good reason would there be for such a thing to be going on? They're checking to see, will people object, or are they going to roll over once again?
Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is our guest. She's founder and president of the Ruth Institute. We're talking about that halftime show at the Super Bowl, and when we come back, a Super Bowl ad that Fox didn't want to air. Stay tuned. On the pages in between, my blood runs cold.
The Simply Classical curriculum for special needs moves at my child's pace and gives her exactly what she needs. So writes Amber, a homeschooling mother who has joined thousands in homes and schools teaching from this uniquely Christian classical approach to special education. Teach students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome based on ability level rather than chronological age. Use promo code LPR20 today at classicalspecialneeds.com. Classicalspecialneeds.com.
You can meet and hear Mark and Molly Hemingway, Robert George, Albert Moeller, Brian Wolfmiller, Hans Feeney, and Will Wheaton at the 2020 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 12th and Saturday, June 13th in Chicago. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The 2020 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 12th and 13th at Concordia University, Chicago.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Concordia University Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're committed to increasing LCMS faculty and staff members. Hi, this is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago. If you're a member of our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation, please consider joining our staff. And if you have a terminal degree, please consider joining our faculty. Send us an email at human.resources@cuchicago.edu.
O morning star, O morning star, shine with a bright glow above.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Super Bowl ads and the halftime show. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is our guest, founder and president of the Ruth Institute. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities. She's senior research fellow in economics for the Acton Institute and author of several books, including her latest, The Sexual State. You'll find a link to this book and to the Ruth Institute on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Jennifer, tell us about the ad that Fox didn't run.
Well, yes, it was a pro-life ad, people who had survived abortion attempts, and Fox chose not to run that ad. Now, I don't know what they were thinking, I don't know what they said, but they chose not to run that ad. I think your previous guest had something to say about that.
At the same time, I mean, the ads that they did run, I think we got a couple drag queens in a couple of those ads there, too.
Yes, we had drag queens hawking hummus. That's considered completely acceptable for middle America to see. Little girls watching adult women gyrate on and doing pole dancing, that's okay for Americans to see. But for some reason, abortion survivors, no, not so much. You know, do you see a pattern here, Todd?
So obviously, Fox wants ad money. I'm sure that they are offered a lot of money by big corporations.
Right.
And why do you think they didn't want to take the money from pro-lifers?
Well, see, Todd, this is the issue that I talk about in The Sexual State that you very kindly mentioned. Once somebody decides they're on the side of the sexual revolution, they have to suppress information that doesn't support it. Because, you know, the fact is that indiscriminate sex is going to result in some pregnancies that people think they can't handle. Okay. And so if you are promoting being sex positive, you know, the way the halftime show is promoting, sex is a recreational activity. You can do whatever you want. You're entitled to do whatever you want and everything will be fine. Well, the only way you can have that is if abortion is completely costless. Okay. So it has to be legal. It has to be free. And you can't feel bad about it afterwards. You can't have any regrets. You can't have any guilty feelings. And so you've really got to muzzle these pesky pro-lifers. You got to muzzle these women who say, gee, I regret my abortion. You can't be listening to them because that will upset the whole thing, you see. So once you've turned your conscience over to the sexual revolution, there's a whole lot of stuff you can't look at anymore. And what's happening to us in the culture, these things that look like oppression, they look like propaganda. They are propaganda. That is what it is. But what's happening, the reason it seems like it's cascading and getting worse and worse, is that the sexual revolution's been irrational from the beginning, and the evidence against it is piling up. And so there's more and more stuff that they have to just obliterate or wipe out or cover up. And it's for them, from their perspective, the perspective of those who want to believe that a life of carefree, child-free sex is possible. It's like reality is like a giant game of whack-a-mole. You know, one bit of contrary evidence pops its head up. They got to whack that one. And then over here, another bit of contrary evidence pops up, you know. So these people who survived abortion attempts, no, they just can't look at that. You know, they just don't want to look at the products of conception getting out of hand like that and getting born and having feelings and stuff. You know, that's just way too much for them. So that's why you're seeing it. I think that's the psychology of it, Todd. I think it's a combination of people trying to keep an intellectual system together plus a guilty conscience just really, really bugging them. And that's why we're seeing this.
Okay. To what degree is the sexual revolution dependent on abortion on demand?
Well, there's a big chunk of it that's dependent on it. It's one of the, shall we say, one of the linchpin policies that is necessary for the sexual revolution to keep chugging on, because the idea of the sexual revolution is that sex is a recreational activity with no moral or social consequences. Anybody who thinks otherwise is, you know, stuck in some kind of old-fashioned thing. Well, since all contraceptive methods sometimes fail, the only way you can maintain that view, you know, of child-free sex is to have abortion as a backup plan. So it's a very important plank to the sexual revolution. And then so many other things have been built around that, Todd. You know, people's understanding of themselves, people's idea that, well, I must finish my graduate degree in order to amount to anything as a human being. If I don't have my graduate degree, if I don't have my law degree, if I don't make partner in the law firm, you know, all of this kind of economic side, you might say, of the sexual revolution, that's also all built on the availability of abortion on demand. And that's also why our elites are so locked in to the whole thing. They can't let it go. So many of the people at the top end of society have used contraception for sure, and a lot of them probably abortions, maybe multiple abortions in some cases, right? So, and having children too early upsets your career path. So the people at the high end are the people more likely to have participated in it, and therefore more likely to be the most adamant about circling the wagons around any criticism, you know, to protect abortion and the contraceptive ideology from any criticism.
What I saw by way of kind of parental response to the whole Super Bowl itself, and in particular that halftime show we were talking about before, was an almost instinctual defensiveness on the part of parents. I'm trying to enjoy this with my kids, and now they ruined this for me. That right. seems to be a pretty fundamental impulse that the average Super Bowl fan might understand.
Well, I think it's right, but you have to be a parent to understand that. So if you don't have your first child till you're 35 or 40, you've got a long time there where you look at that and you think, well, what are these people all so upset about? What's the big deal here? See? So by moving the age at first marriage higher and higher, you're cutting off a lot of that response that I think is totally natural response. The natural response of any parent, male or female, right? Mothers and fathers alike want to protect their children, and they specifically want to protect their children's innocence. I think it is natural to want to keep your private parts private. It is natural to want to keep your sexual desire focused on one person whom you love and trust. You really do want to keep that in your own bedroom, right? And so what's it doing on TV? You know, it's sort of instinctively upsetting. If you have allowed those natural instincts to continue to develop and grow. And so even the most hardened person, once they become a father, once they become a mother, all that stuff comes racing to the fore again, and you become protective, and you go, what the heck, what have I been thinking for the last 30 years? You know, I hear that all the time from people, right? And so I think that's part of what you're seeing, Todd, is that the reaction of parents is different from the reaction of everybody else, but parents are not as important in politics and in the governance of society as they once were, in a society where pretty much all adults were parents or expected to be parents.
What I see here finally, Jen, just in terms of dollars and cents, is everyone involved in this to a certain degree, people who planned the halftime show chose the ads. They say, look, sex sells.
Yep.
And they say, controversy never hurt us. There's no bad press, except for those pesky pro-lifers. We don't want that controversial subject here. And this is going to be a roaring success, even while all the soccer moms and dads out there are complaining.
Well, the soccer moms and the soccer dads are complaining to each other. You need to be complaining with some effect. You need to be complaining to the NFL. You need to be complaining to Pepsi. It turns out just in during the break, I saw that my article has posted at the National Catholic Register. So I'm going to put that on on the Ruth Institute Facebook page. And I'm also going to put a couple of phone numbers that you can call, okay, to express your outrage about this. And you guys, you need to do this. Do not sit there and complain and do nothing. Okay. Unfocused outrage does no good. Do something. I want you to call the Players Association. I want you to call the NFL. Write to your favorite Christian NFL star, because there are quite a few of them, and ask them, hey, fellas, why are you allowing your talent to be placed at the service of this kind of stuff? You know, I mean, think about it. Ostensibly, they're selling football. In reality, they're selling advertising and they're selling sex. Are you really going to allow your God-given talent to be put to that service? We need to go after these people and say what we think. I mean, we don't need to go after the Christian athletes, but we need them to know that we care, and they have more leverage than we do. So that's why I'm recommending that. And in a few minutes, as soon as we get off the phone here, I'm going to put that up on the Ruth Institute Facebook page so people can do that.
Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morris is founder and president of the Ruth Institute. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities. She's senior research fellow in economics for the Acton Institute and author of several books, including her latest, The Sexual State. Jennifer, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Tom Baker is with us on the other side of the break. We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson today, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. We'll kind of go past the Beatitudes into Jesus' words about anxiety. Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a contribution of $135 to Issues Etc. You can donate online at issuesetc.org/scholarship, or you can make a $135 check payable to Issues Etc., write scholarship in the memo line, and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll study the Spirit of Truth. Jesus leaves his peace, the true vine, greater love, hatred, and persecution. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, as we continue our walk through St. John's Gospel on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
If you appreciate Issues Etc., Talk Radio for the Thinking Christian, and Lutheran Public Radio, Sacred Music for the World, please include a bequest in your will or trust for these worldwide media resources. Bequests aren't subject to federal tax or capital gains taxes. Ensure your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren the opportunity to listen by including a bequest in your will or trust for Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio.